Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yep, yep, yep. Well, listen, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good Sunday morning to you all. Frat House, Mike coming to you here from the Frat House Sports Garage on a very, very dreary, gray, humid, weather-threatening day. However, this is one of the two times a year, I got to be honest with you, that well, those of us here in the garage kind of feel like NASCAR has come to us. As, well, hey, the guys are all allegedly now going to run, well, just up the road from us here. Oh, just a bit. About 90 minutes or so. North of us here at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono Raceway. Now, hopefully that's going to get in. I got it. I'll tell you right now, if there was a race that was going to get washed away, it would be this week's. I know that we've talked about it over the past couple of weeks, that there's been threats of it with more recent ones, but today's is really not looking good at all. But we'll get into it, and we'll talk about it nonetheless. So, hey, listen, they got to run the race sooner or later, right? You know, it was, it was a week ago here. I'm coming on. I'm talking about Matt Kenseth getting his first win of the season. And there goes all of the JGR drivers with a win for the season. And don't you know, we were kind of joking about it a bit last week, talking about, hey, well, we got to get that fifth JGR driver. Mm-hmm. That fifth one in the winner's circle. We got to get Martin Truex in there. Holy smokes, did he do it last week. My goodness. Just absolutely dominated the longest race of the entire season. 392 of 400 laps did Martin Truex dominate at the Coca-Cola 600. We're going to talk at length about that kind of performance, because I got to be honest with you, I've heard an awful lot of hyperbole to that performance. At least that's kind of the way that I view it. Hyperbole, yeah, exaggeration. But nonetheless, you can't take anything away from the fact that he absolutely dominated that. Now, with last week's race, where does that put? Hey, that put us exactly at the midpoint of the season. Hard to believe, but that's exactly where we are. Here we are. June 5th already, and we are at the midpoint. We're going into race number 14, and so with the conclusion of today's race at Pocono, that'll put us at race number 14, and we're one over to the you know, the whole season. So there you have it. And interestingly too, I always find that this Pocono race is a bit anomalous, because it feels like, and I guess it is, the shortest time between a track that we will visit twice, because we'll be back here at Pocono just 8 weeks from now. But 8 weeks from now, consider that one, 8 weeks from now, at that point then, we're really, really, really talking about the chase at that point, because at that point then you're at the end of July, and you only have about 4 or 5 weeks remaining to the season. But anyhow, we're going to get into all of these things here this afternoon. If any of you want to jump in with us for a little bit this morning, hey, not a terribly busy garage. You can jump in with us. No problem. We'll answer the phone. 347 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here. 347-826-9964. That's how you get a hold of the Frat House Sports Garage. If you are on a computer and Skype capable, just hit the Skype button. Should put you through to us loud and clear. Otherwise, you can leave a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Or better yet, because I'm always checking it. I'm checking it constantly. I've got it up right now. Hit me up on Twitter, @FrathouseMike. Getting @FrathouseMike over on Twitter. In the meantime, let's get the rest of the mechanics in here. I see I've got Sidekick ready to rock and roll, so let's get Sidekick in because, hey, you know something? We've got a fun day coming up here, buddy.
We got, sure.
We got the pesky boys up front, and yet we know the JGR is dominating everywhere as they have this year. And in the past two races at Pocono, by the way, the past two races last August, who won it? Matt Kenseth. Who won it in June of last year? Martin Truex Jr. So, you know, I think we have the making for a fun show here with your boys up front.
You don't I'm not even watching Pocono.
Just because of that fact.
Oh, like. You have been so damn ornery in the past week or so.
I really don't care anymore. After last, I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. As you were alluding to, we're almost halfway through the season. And I swear, 90% of the races have been won by Toyotas. Just not feeling it anymore.
Well, you might be right. It might be 90%. I haven't done the math on it.
You might be right. I'm just so tired of watching Toyota.
What are we going to do with this guy?
This is the problem NASCAR's had to deal with in the past. You can't have one group very dominant because people get bored and tune out. It's like, I've seen this already this year. I don't want to see this again. They're not seeing anything exciting. I mean, they're not even exciting between
them. Here's the thing,
to your point, okay, yes, the Fords are on the front row, but as you alluded to, last year it was Matt Kenseth who won. Year before it was Martin Truex who won. Who picked up their first win here? Carl Edwards picked up his first win here.
Yep, that's true.
And remember, when asked, how did you figure out the tricky triangle? His comment was, I was playing NASCAR video games. And they're so realistic that he just drove Pocono. Just kept driving it. The game's so realistic that that was his reason for why he won.
Pocono might be easy to simulate on a video game, in my opinion. Because look at Pocono. I mean, it's so damn flat.
The tunnel turn.
And you've only got three turns. You only got three turns.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got the speed bump over the tunnel turn,
and
which throws everybody off because you see everybody hit that thing and get squirrely.
But he
alluded to that. He goes, he was even saying that. He's like, the game's so realistic. You hit the tunnel turn, or you hit the tunnel, and your car goes. I thought it was kind of funny. When he was saying it, he said it was better than an actual simulator.
They do a really good job with those games anymore.
Yeah.
I know Frat House Mike's dismissing it, but
I don't play
those
them.
Companies
I don't play
have,
them
have done then, a, quite a bit from what I've read. I mean, all the young up and coming drivers use the games for training, getting familiar with tracks, grooves, lines.
I could see it.
Even Dale Jr., when he was younger, he said him and Truex, I'm sure, have spent hours playing video race games. I have no doubt. That's just what they used to do.
I don't know if it was Truex or not.
It might have been Truex. Way back when, Dale Jr. gave somebody a job at, the nationwide level because he played so well in a video online video race game. I believe that might have been how Truex got his start. if I'm not. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Truex.
Yeah. If you could beat Junior on NASCAR, you know, on EA Sports NASCAR, you might get a job.
He did. He did give somebody a job for in that series. I want to say it was Truex. I really do. From competing with him online.
That's a hell of a resume submission, honest to God.
Yep.
Win a video game, and I'll get you a job on the team.
Well, there wasn't a contest. He just did it because he was so impressed with how good he drove.
I don't play the games, and I haven't. I must be honest. I haven't even seen what they look like recently. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you.
Last video game Mike played was Pong.
Exactly. You're not kidding. No, that you might be right. That might be exactly.
Or what was it? Tank.
I don't even know what that one was. Honestly, I think seriously, it would be Madden, but probably like 98. Seriously, no joke. But
I haven't played Madden in a long time. They got.
It looks great.
Too fancy with the controllers.
Yeah, they've made
the games look amazing now. I mean, they look realistic, but you know, I'm sorry, I can't memorize 10 patterns. Come on now, it's too crazy for me.
It's too complicated to try
to
remember.
I'll stick to turn left.
And listen, yeah, exactly. Can I? Particularly difficult for somebody like myself who's dyslexic. You know, what I gotta be. Wait a minute, left and right. I can't. I there's no way my brain's gonna work that way.
Well, you'd probably be good at the flying games then.
With, you know, you just said though. You just made the comment though, Sidekick, and I gotta get to this for a moment because.
Me to get on the couch? Do you? Is this my week to get on the couch?
Well, it must be because for God's sake, you've just been so damn ornery about every damn sport that we ever bring up here. I mean, we do run a sports network here. We kind of happen to talk about. We kind of
I know.
Last week wasn't exciting. How could you possibly say that last week wasn't exciting? Martin Truex dominated 392 laps of 400. That was ridiculous.
I can answer the question for you, Fred. I was like, the only thing that was exciting was at the last couple laps to see if he made it or not. That's all. You know, to see if he was going to have a tire go down or. You know, have an accident, something like that.
And
that was the only exciting part. There was no doubt who was going to win that race. Come on now.
Yeah.
He got passed one time on one restart for a half a lap by Jimmy Johnson.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk here in a couple of minutes here. I got to bring up what other people have said about Truex's performance because I alluded to it in the introduction that personally I think a lot of it's hyperbole. You got to sit back and just admire it, don't you?
I don't want to say that, you know, I'm happy for Martin. You know what I mean? And, you know, I will kind of put my Toyota hate aside because I've kind of been a Truex Jr. fan since, you know, the whole Spingate thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And plus, you know, he's a local guy. He's a New Jersey boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, while I applaud the win and I'm glad to see him get the win and stuff like that. If I take all the Toyota stuff out, you know, so I don't want to, you know, in some respects, I don't want to belittle his accomplishment. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it is kind of boring to watch the same guys up front. You know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to see Penske up front every single race either.
No, that got
you
damn boring.
I mean?
All those
I
years.
Want to see, I, exactly. I want to see competitive racing. I want
I mean,
to see where you know. I want to see Hendrick win some. I want to see as much as I'm not fans of some of the other guys. You know, I just can't legitimately. Expect that my driver or my team or my manufacturer's going to win every week.
It's going to kill
the sport. That's what happened with six-time Jimmy Johnson. You know, for years, people were like, oh, you know,
I'm not watching NASCAR anymore. It's Jimmy Johnson's going to win everything, and he's going to win the chase, and it who cares? You know what I mean?
Oh, listen, I hear you. I mean, listen, who was whining? And I'll be the first one to admit it. And I'm surprised that kid, you haven't thrown it in my face. But who was whining more than me the year that Keselowski went on his run?
Oh, yeah, him and Logano.
I was whining more than anybody else. I couldn't stand it. I hated it. You know, that was the first time that they, you know, that those two just got on my last nerve.
Right.
You sit back and you go, hey, that's what it is. It's racing. And Brandon, if I'm not mistaken, you've brought it up a zillion times. You've said this thing is very trendy. It's an ebb and flow.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sometimes, but this season's taken off to be more than we've not seen too much changing if you look at it. Yeah, we've had a few Chevys win, but not, you know, it's pretty much been Toyota. You know,
and
when
it's
you
been
had,
Joe Gibbs. It hasn't even been like it's been anybody else. It's all Joe Gibbs.
Well, Joe Gibbs is really the only good Toyota.
Who else is running Toyota but Joe Gibbs, really? When it comes
I think there's a couple backmarker guys running them. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
The only time Martin Truex Jr. did not lead that race was during green flag pit stops for, you know, normal, you know, gas tire stops where they always exchange the lead a couple times. And there was one restart where Jimmy Johnson got ahead of him, officially led a lap. But it was really only about a half a lap that Jimmy Johnson led, and Truex was right back by him and gone. So there was no question who was winning this race. This race was just, you know, as you said, no ebbs and flows. It was all Truex. It became to a point where, okay, now we're going to root to see if the kid makes it, because if he loses, it's going to suck on an epic scale. And it turned out good for him. He didn't have any issues and didn't lose a tire. Nobody, you know, crashed in front of him, and, you know, he deserved to win the race. I'm not going to take it away from him, but it's certainly not exciting when you have a guy winning, you know, leading that many laps. I mean, really? And really, nobody could even come close to him if you look at it. Not even the other Toyotas. You know, he led that race dominantly for most of them.
Well, you know, a couple of things that I wanted to bring up here real quick. Number one, first of all, we talk about Truex. Here's one of the facts that came across to me that I was a little bit shocked about. Truex, this is only his fourth Sprint Cup win. Fourth. That's it in his entire career. Sprint Cup now. All right? And I would have thought it was more than that. With as long as I've been following Truex, you know, obviously he's been under different team management and what have you. For a lot of his time, I guess, so far in Sprint Cup. But I was a little bit surprised at that this was only his fourth win ever in Sprint Cup. Number two, I'll throw this one out just as kind of a teaser before we get to, leading up to when we put our picks in for today's race at Pocono. So far, obviously, I know my own pick, and I've got the picks of the other two. So I've got 3 out of 5 of the picks sitting here in front of me. I don't know what you guys are going to pick yet, or who you're going to pick. But there's no GGR car in any of the three. And all three are different. So, you know, there's a little bit of a teaser for you. Our loyal listener, Liz, seems to think that things are going to change up once we get to Sonoma. That's when you're going to start to see things start to turn around. So, just an observation there. A couple of things there. Any thoughts, guys?
Well, I'm not picking a Toyota. I'm going to go back 2 years
to
the guy who swept this track. So, and maybe I'm giving my pick away and I'm a homer, but okay, I don't care.
I think he's going with Junior.
I was going to say, hang on, wait. I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling down, and there we go.
Junior.
Crush.
There we go. That's what Yeah. Well, Junior swept it. Junior swept it in 2014.
Yeah. And he swept it in a fairly dominant style, kind of like Truex did last week.
There's a lot of when you talk about Pocono, I mean, it's not like there's any one real manufacturer that's kind of dominated it. You've had Junior. You know, Denny Hamlin is one four
right
times
now.
Here.
That's a great point, Sidekick. We have looked at a couple of tracks recently. Jimmy Johnson, I forget which one it was. Maybe it was last week or the week before. Had won there like seven times. When I was looking over the stats for Pocono last night, I was taken back by exactly what you're talking about, and the fact that when you look at it, the driver that has the most wins is Denny Hamlin with four.
Yep.
There's only one 3-time winner, and that's Johnson. Junior swept it in 14, but that made him only one of three 2-time winners. Kurt Busch is the other 2-time winner, and Casey Kane. And that's it. There's been no dominance at Pocono, which is interesting because you look at Pocono, and as I pointed out, it's a flat track. There's really not much to it. It's only 3 turns. You would think this would be a fairly easy track to kind of dominate. I don't know if it's because of the size of it or what, but...
Well, I was going to say, actually, I'd like to see the numbers, but I would almost say if there was a trend or a dominance at Pocono, it would be of the younger drivers winning. If you know
Denny
what
Hamlin,
I mean.
Denny Hamlin a few years ago was pretty dominant up there, and he would have been younger at the time.
Well, that's why I think Carl Edwards did it in either his rookie or his second season. Denny Hamlin when he was young in his career, that's almost the mold of what you see. You may see Chase Elliott win today.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it'll probably be some of the younger guys that you'll see. You won't necessarily see a Jimmy Johnson. I'm trying to think of some of the older drivers, which is kind of hard because you talk about older, Dale Jr. now is kind of an older driver.
Yeah.
When you sit down and you think about
it. Kyle Larson won Xfinity yesterday.
Yeah. See, I mean, and
was that at Pocono though?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Pocono. It was.
And
Pocono.
I'd love to see him get a win.
That was the Pocono Green 250, right? The Pocono Green 250. Is that what I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this one. Let's do this real quick. We got a call coming in here from San Antonio, Texas. So let's see what's on the mind from somebody from San Antonio. San Antonio, thanks for calling. Fred, how sports is Race Trim Motorsports Hour? What's on your mind?
Hey guys, how you doing? This is
all right.
Your bud, Greg.
I had a funny feeling.
Well, what's going on, Greg?
AKA Texas Ham, baby. I'm doing good. First of all, who was it that said that they didn't know what Tank the video game was?
That was Mike that did not know
that
what Tank
been,
was.
That would have been me. Yes, that would have been. I have no idea. Hey, come on, Greg. You know how old I am.
His video game was an abacus. That's how old Fred House Mike is.
Exactly.
Pong was high tech, I guess.
Exactly.
Anyways, I'm just sitting here, and I'm having a tough time this week, and I've been listening to you guys talking about, new guy or young guys winning Pocono and all that. What do you think about Smoke? Could he come out of nowhere and win this race?
Greg, I would love to see that as a Smoke fan. And coincidentally, he does have the most top 10 finishes at Pocono.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility. I just have this feeling it's a long shot. I'm telling you, if that were to happen and I didn't watch the race, I may have to watch the race today. maybe and hope for that.
Maybe tomorrow.
You know what I mean?
He qualified.
JGR wins next week, I can sit here and, curse again.
He qualified well, and he's coming out of the sixth spot. So,
yeah, you never know. you just never know. And one other thing, talking about guys, young guys, actually, Nicole down here, she loves Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, and they're 1-2, right? And
yes, they are,
I'm just
unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm just telling her there's no way that they're going to even finish in the top 10, and she's getting mad at me about that. What do you guys think?
Greg, I like your thinking. I like your thinking.
Well, and you know what's kind of interesting is I'm looking over the fantasy site, because and this just dawned on me as you know I'm prepping the show fantasy team, but I'm going through some of the stats here, you know, and as you mentioned, Brad's on the pole, Joey's on the second, on the front row, but you know NASCAR's own projected best lineup for Pocono today is Kevin Harvick, Dale Jr., Chase Elliott, Brian Scott, Landon Castle. Okay. You go at the percent of percent owned top five. Harvick, Chase Elliott, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt. There is like no love for any Penske driver on NASCAR's fantasy website. So you know, I'm sitting here going, well, oh man, you know, I got Brad. I think I got Brad on one team and I got Joey on the other. And it's like, and you know, and also what, you know, while we're talking fantasy from fantasy's perspective, you know, one of the dings for, you know, like last week, we used Martin Truex, you know, he's on the pole. He's not going to get any passing, you know, place differential. Because he's, you know, basically he's only going to, if he doesn't win the race, he's only losing points. If he wins the race, he doesn't gain any points. He doesn't lose any points. So sometimes I have a difficulty trying to put the pole sitter on my fantasy team because I already know unless they win the race, they're not even going to break even.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now there's going to be things like laps led. You know, like Martin Truex last week, you know, killed the laps led.
Yep.
Point. You know what I mean? So there are some things that do make up for that, you know, for that potential, you know, negative point differential there. But, you know, it's always kind of that, you know, do I put the pole sitter on my team or, you know, even Joey Logano in second? You know, do you put Joey on there, you know? If he wins the race, okay, well, you get 1 point for your place differential. You know what I mean? Now, if he has a dominant day and he leads a ton of laps, well, then it makes up for it.
Right.
So, but that's always, you know, kind of the yin and yang of it.
To answer, though, and I guess maybe to get away from the – and not to dismiss it, but just to get away from the fantasy aspect of it, you know, as Greg's pointing out, and I'm going to be honest with you, look, everybody knows I'm not a Penske guy. I can't stand Penske. And really, it has more to do with these two drivers. I just don't like Keselowski or Logano. We've talked at nauseam about that. We talked at length about it last week. But even I sit back and I think to myself, one of these two guys has got to win one of these weeks sooner than later. And you look at both of them up there at the top of the order today, and you think to yourself, okay, this has got to be Penske's week, right? That's what it's got to be. And that's kind of – I'm kind of with Greg a little bit on that one, that you got to – whether you like them or not, and, you know, that's where I start to get the – you know, that's where I get my journalist aspect walking in on this one. I eliminate my feelings about it. I look at the two of them and I go, that team has been too dominant in the past. They got to win a race sooner or later. So just my thought anyhow. Anything there, Brandon? Any thoughts on it? All right, anyhow.
Well, hey, this,
go ahead, Greg.
This is Greg. I actually kind of feel the same way. I don't like either one of them at all. But at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, one of these guys, you know, is going to win.
Yep.
Is it going to be this week? And it's kind of like last week I rolled the dice and I got lucky with Truex, you know? And I, every week I'm trying to figure out who's going to be that guy that's going to put me ahead of everybody else. And is it going to be one of these guys? Maybe, you know. But on the other hand, my gut keeps, for some weird reason, going back to Dale Jr. I just feel like that guy is due. And he hasn't won one, and he's had some bad luck. But I really feel like he's due. Is it this week? I don't know, but he's going to come up pretty soon, Dale, I think. Anyway, that's all I want to say. You guys are doing a great show. I'll hang up and let you guys just keep on rocking and rolling, and good work, and can't wait for the race.
Real quick one for you, Greg. I wanted to ask you, because you're saying Nicole down there is talking up Keselowski and Logano today. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought she was a big Carl Edwards fan.
Oh, well, Carl Edwards is a staple on her team for sure. I mean, he's like permanent place on there. He will not leave her team unless he retires, okay? But, I mean, that's in stone. And a lot of times she will have Keselowski and Logano on her team. And lately I've talked her into putting Harvick on, you know, one of the places, because I told her, I was like, you know what, Harvick is so dang consistent. How can you not have him on your team? But she's a huge Keselowski Logano fan, big time. And I never have them on my team. So that's the only house riff that we have.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Well, listen, tell her for me, just stick with the JGR guys. She'll be better off.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, actually, let me ask since we got you on, Greg, real quick. Okay. And you were talking about Harvick. So how do you and Nicole feel about Stuart Haas going to Ford next season?
Ooh, yeah. That was an interesting – when we heard the news, that was definitely an interesting conversation we had. Don't really have an answer for you. It seems strange. Nicole is definitely a Chevy type person. I'm kind of in the middle, you know, whichever car will work, but she doesn't like it. Let's put it that way. She does not like them going to Ford at all. She thinks Ford is terrible. That's just her opinion.
That's interesting, isn't it? That's
interesting. And there is some manufacturer, you know, we discussed loyalties before,
yep.
You know, but there is, you know, I think you tried to downplay it when we talked about it before, but there is some, you know, manufacturer loyalty.
Well,
oh, definitely.
Across the spectrum.
Definitely, without a doubt. Her dad, post things all the time about, you know, how Fords break down and all that. It just kind of comes from the family, you know. It's just her dad, Chevy guy, she's a Chevy person. And so, you know, me, I'm actually, I'd rather drive a Japanese made car, but, you know, just cause I think they're more reliable. I currently drive an Infiniti and it's awesome. I wouldn't touch a American-made car if my life depended on it, but that's me, you know, so that's why I don't, you know, I don't get into that. So
that's
anyway,
interesting.
But as far as race cars go, you know, that's different, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, that's a whole different deal. And so I'm kind of neutral on the whole thing. I do think as far as race cars go, Chevys are better. That's just what I've observed. But I could be wrong. You know, you guys are the experts on that.
Oof, not at all. Not me, anyhow. You know, it's funny. I'm just thinking about my own self, and I'm applying everything you're saying just to myself. I've driven Chevys probably almost all my life. So if I had to classify myself, I'm a Chevy guy. But what do I find myself rooting for? I find myself rooting for the Toyotas. More not because of the manufacturer affinity, but probably more because of the driver affinity, the, you know, the Joe Gibbs connection. That's where I go with it.
The food sponsor.
Well, no, not necessarily. No, because I'm really not sponsor driven at all. Are we talking about? We talked about that here on the show as well, which I find interesting. You guys kind of say that does influence you. It doesn't influence me all that much. But
to be honest, if
Joe Gibbs had announced they were going over to Ford's, while I wouldn't be happy about it, I'd be okay. I'd accept it. Because to me, it's not the manufacturer. It's about the drivers, and it's about the – Now I'm, you know, but listen, I'm. That might be because I'm kind of still a little bit, as I pointed out, new to this sport. But I know Brandon, jump in on the conversation because I know you're. I think you're kind of with the concept of the manufacturer, aren't you?
Yeah. A lot of people follow by manufacturer and teams, and you know. Actually, I think you see the manufacturers working more together in NASCAR than you've had in the past. I mean, before, you'd always have, you know, Chevy teams, but they wouldn't necessarily share information. And now you're going to see, you know, now you're seeing more and more where teams are sharing engines, you know, sharing equipment. You have one source making all the Toyota engines. You have one place making all the Ford engines. And really, I think there's only two making Chevy engines anymore. So it's like, you're down to, you know, all the teams are getting their engines from, you know, one or, you know, maybe two choices. That's as big a part as anything.
And it's funny because that's kind of what Stuart Haas played up the whole move to Ford was, hey, we want to get out from underneath Hendrick and we want to kind of stand on our own. And,
but now they're going to be underneath Roush Yates' engines. So what's the difference?
Right.
I mean, even Penske, which you would consider probably the best Ford team, doesn't do their own engines. They get them from, you know, Yates.
Yeah, but I think on the Chevy side, I think they were almost literally getting the cars from Hendricks.
Right.
Yeah, whereas here, I think, you know, Ford saying, hey, we'll just get, you know, we'll give you a Roush Yates engine and we'll give you all sorts of engineering help.
This isn't anything about SHR not happy with Hendricks and what they were getting. If they wanted to switch that part of the agreement, they certainly could have. They could have went to having their own, you know, building their own cars.
Yeah.
This came down to Ford spending
money to get
a good team. That's what this is all about. They wanted to try to change the flow of NASCAR because, really, you take away the Penske team, what do you got for Ford? You got a Robert Yates team that used to be really good that can barely get out of its own way at most tracks.
It's
getting better. But
you're spot on, Brandon. You're spot on with that assessment.
This was just Ford buying a big team. They wanted to get, you know, because I'm pretty sure next year you'll see another bigger Toyota team, not just, you know, JGR. And I'm not counting Truex because I'm kind of counting Truex in with the JGR cars.
Yeah.
He's kind of, you know, a loose alliance. You're going to see like a, I don't know, maybe Richard Petty, somebody who has a two-car team, you know, even what's his name, Chip Ganassi possibly.
Yep.
You know, I could see a team like that joining the Toyota stable because Toyota does want another team. And, you know, they had it with MWR, but we all know what happened there. They all kind of just fell apart.
Well, but, all you know, the Wood – now, it's a single team, you know, single car team. But Wood Brothers is running great this year with Ryan Blaney.
That's because they're very, very – Ryan Blaney's technically under contract with Penske. And Penske's doing all the engines and support for that car. So, you know, that's essentially a third Penske car. It's just Penske can never, I guess, not find third car sponsorship. And, you know, I guess the Wood Brothers car was close enough, you know, to having full sponsors that I think some of those sponsors, the extra ones to close the gap, came from Penske.
Right.
They kind of work together to put this. It's kind of like a collaboration team. So,
the Wood Brothers have always been a, you know, okay, we're going to race Daytona, we're going to race here, we're going to race there. They've never been a full, you know, this is the first full year.
Well,
where that partnership came from.
They were kind of pressured, weren't they, a bit, just a bit into that one.
I'm wondering, see, I was thinking about that, and I wonder about that, if this whole charter thing.
Yep.
Is the reason why they partnered, or if there was already something in the works and this just happened to come in at the same time?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon. If they get a full year or more in, if a charter comes open, wouldn't they be available for it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how it works. I think there's the way they initially laid it out, I think it either had to be sold, or I think a team would have not had to make all the races for a certain period before NASCAR could pull it back. In other words, the way I always read it, it would get sold long before a team let it get, just revoked.
Right.
So,
In order to buy it, wouldn't a team have to show that they've got the commitment to putting a vehicle out there every single week?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work, honest. To be quite honest with you, I'll be honest with you. If you bought it, you'd probably be given the chance to show that you're going to put a car out there every week. I don't know that, the way it reads, it doesn't. I don't know that there's any prerequisite to buying it except for, paying up.
Well, I mean, other than you've got, it's assumed that you run every week. If you kind of look at the system, you're expected to run every week. So if you're going to purchase a charter, I think they're going to, you're going to be running every week.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, either they're not going to let you buy the charter, or they're going to be revoking that charter at some point.
Or you're
going to wind up selling it.
Or you're wasting money.
I think someone wants to tell me something about, missing so many races over like 2 years is when NASCAR could do some kind of, revoking. So I honestly don't, like I said, when I first read it, my first thought was, well, no team's ever going to let it get to that point. They'll sell it first.
And that's what kept Wood Brothers out of consideration to begin with, was the fact that they the fact they weren't able to show a history of consistency.
I think what pissed a lot of people off back then was the fact that Michael Waltrip Racing got the ability to sell two of them with no intentions of ever running this year. In other words, they gave Michael Waltrip Racing two of them. One got sold to the 41 car of Kurt Busch. The other got sold to the 19 car of Carl Edwards. They're both relatively new teams in their organizations. And a team that's been around forever didn't get a shot at it.
Who was the architect?
Yeah, it was
of
Rob
the charter
Kaufman.
System.
It was Rob Kaufman, the guy who was the partner in MWR. And I'm sure him and Michael got a piece of the, the charters they sold.
Yep.
So, that's why people were pissed about the way that happened. And saying, the Wood Brothers got screwed. Well, really, they didn't. But, I don't know that MWR should have been given two with no intentions of running. But
Agreed. I understand.
But the way they had to draw it up some way, and they had to pull. I think they had some something about number of races in the last, 3 to 5 years, something along those lines. And
exactly.
MWR fit. And they didn't take into account future considerations when they put it together. So, it's clearly not been a big deal this year because we've hardly ever had anybody go home. Sometimes we don't even have enough cars. So,
we've seen that.
I think the charter system sort of kind of, I don't know, maybe it scared teams away from trying to make races. I don't know, but I don't know if this is the intended result. I don't think they wanted to go from 43 to 40 showing up every week, but it's what happened. Now, we may see a few extras at, maybe the road course races. You always see a couple extra cars entered. The big restrictor plate tracks is always a couple extra entered. I think week to week, I think that took a hit.
Yep. All right, let's do this. Greg, I appreciate you calling in. Do it again, my friend, will you?
You betcha, man. Anytime. It's a great show, and I've just been listening, and I'm going to hang up now, but I'm going to keep on listening. You guys rock.
We appreciate it. Hey, our best to Nicole as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Hey, that was good of Greg to call in. Appreciate that. That's fun stuff. Listen, as usual, I don't even know where the hell we are in the outline. But it doesn't really matter.
We had an outline?
Outline, yeah. Oh, yeah, listen to you. I only spend hours putting together an outline nobody looks at.
And I tell you every week, I said, just put like five things down on a piece of paper, call it done, and send it out, and we'll make it up as we go. And that's what we always do anyway.
One of these weeks,
exactly.
One of these weeks in the outline, I'm just going to write down stupid, innocuous things like bubble gum, you know, or dandelions, you know, nothing. Things that mean absolutely nothing. See if anybody actually paid attention. No, I'm joking.
Well, no, we read it, but
it's
kind of like, you know, that's the beauty of
that's what makes this fun.
You know, it's Sunday morning, we're getting ready for racing, and, you know, we meander off, you know,
yep.
We got an hour and a half of talking about racing. Yeah, it was funny, my mom yesterday, she goes, hey, you got the show tomorrow, right? Yeah, you guys going to talk about Muhammad Ali? No. Well, why not?
Why
sports
we
show.
Talk
no,
about
this
Muhammad
is a racing
Ali?
Show. We're not going to talk about Muhammad Ali today. Mike talked about it yesterday.
It would have been a Thursday show.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I talked about it at length yesterday on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That's
why I was telling her. I'm like, no, this is just racing, Mom.
Yeah.
Disrespect to Muhammad Ali, but, you know.
Exactly. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, and what are we doing? We're talking about Muhammad Ali, which is crazy. But
only because of the comment my mom made. But
no, I understand. I actually went though, and I looked to see if there had ever been a racing overlap with Muhammad Ali. You know, had he ever attended a race? Was there ever a time when Muhammad Ali's name even came up during a race? I actually went and did that research, guys, just to see whether there was a way that there would have been an overlap. And there wasn't. So when I didn't find one, which didn't necessarily surprise me, I kind of said, okay, fine, no problem. Well, then, I'm hearing Xfinity did this whole tribute to Muhammad Ali yesterday during the Xfinity race, right prior to it. I'm going, why?
Well, I mean,
simply because
you almost have to.
Well, why? Because everybody else is?
Well, he was such a big icon.
I will tell you this. As soon as you said it, Mike, I had to go look it up. He was a grand marshal for a NASCAR race in Michigan in 2001. He was on the hood. He was literally on the hood of the Ray Evernham Dodges back then. Yeah, he was a grand marshal for a race, for a Sprint Cup race at Michigan in 2001.
How did you find that? And I didn't, because I would have used that as the
overlap. I Google searched Muhammad Ali grand marshal because I knew he was a grand marshal, and it came right up.
Son of a gun.
I knew he was a grand marshal for a race. I remember that. They do that a lot where they'll bring in other sports figures, and, you know, it's an honorary, you know, meaning, essentially meaningless, but it's, you know what I mean? It's just acknowledging somebody else's achievements. And I'm pretty sure Muhammad Ali was, and he was. It was 2001 in Michigan, and they actually put him on the hood of the Dodge cars.
2001, he would have been, you know, at that point, he was really, really impacted by the Parkinson's.
Yeah, but
that,
he was still more functional than.
Oh yeah, that was the year after. Yeah. That was the year after the lighting, I believe, at the of the Olympic torch. I think that was because he did that one in 2000, I think.
Yeah, that was Atlanta.
Right, what are we doing? Isn't it funny? Is Carol listening? I hope Carol's listening, because what are we doing? We're talking about Muhammad Ali.
No, Carol's got Sunday morning internet church service.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then what does she care whether we're talking about Muhammad Ali or not?
She was just asking. She knew I had the show today.
Oh, my God.
Which is funny, because, you know, I watched the UFC pay-per-view last night, and they had two, I guess, vignettes. Is that the right word?
Yeah, probably.
You know, but they did. They actually did two, you know, things for him during.
Well,
during
I would expect that in a UFC fight. I mean,
UFC.
Well, yeah,
boxing is a component of UFC.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's one
absolutely.
Of the disciplines anyway.
Exactly. But wow, I wish I had known about that. I didn't know about the Grand Marshal thing, but anyhow.
You should have, yeah, I wish you would have asked me. I would have, because as soon as you said it, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was a Grand Marshal. Because I remember they parade him around.
They parade him around.
That's what they do.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Well, no, when you have a Grand Marshal for the race, they roll him out there and let the fans cheer for him. That's basically
it. That was great wording. They parade him around.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Grand Marshal of a race does.
No, actually, seriously, serious tip. Brandon, when we get done the show, go in and change Mike's default search engine from Yahoo to Google.
I know. No, it's not Yahoo. I don't use Yahoo. I don't.
Well, you know what it was? I'm not taking any credit for search engine, whatever. I just knew he was Grand Marshal, so it was easy to do a search. You know, I just typed in Muhammad Ali Grand Marshal, and the first thing that came up was the Michigan 2001. There's even a YouTube video and everything.
I did. I can tell you what my query was. It was Muhammad Ali Motorsports.
Mm.
That's what I did.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't get nothing for Indy, because I'm sure they rolled him out at Indy too at some point. I would imagine
rolled him out.
Paraded him around, rolled
him
out.
Yeah, put him in a, you know, in a convertible, let him wave to the fans.
God.
You know,
bring out your dad.
Oh my God.
Okay, job of a Grand Marshal at a NASCAR race usually involves sitting in a convertible, waving to the fans. Maybe you get to throw the flag, or maybe you get to, you know, say, "Gentlemen, start your engines." But that's essentially it. I mean, come on now.
I don't think you said that.
Well, you probably didn't, but anyway.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man alive. This is just not right. This is lightning is going to strike us and take us off the air here in a moment if we're not careful.
I was going to say, we're going full Biden. Never
really
go full Biden.
Oh, my God.
Quick, turn the mic off. Biden's gone off the script.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah. This is what happens. This is what happens when nobody reads the script, folks.
I do have the weather pulled up.
Well, okay, we're going to get I want to get to that because we're going to talk about Pocono. Believe it or not, we are going to talk about Pocono. Before I get off the topic.
Get our home track.
Yeah, before we get off track here.
Anymore.
We got off track. We got off track about 45 minutes ago. Honest to God.
We're sitting on the side of the track with our car in the wall, waiting for the wrecker to come get us. We're throwing helmets at people driving by. Oh, here comes Muhammad Ali. Throw the helmet at him.
Yeah, really, exactly. I just threw my helmet at Muhammad Ali.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. The car is in the wall. The car, listen, my car right now is in the lake. Are you kidding? I just put mine in the lake. Oh, dear God. But I wanted to get back to this real quick, and that was the dominance of that performance last week at the Coke 600 by Martin Truex Jr. And, you know, I had made reference at the beginning of the program about the hyperbole I've seen attached to this. Racing Reference, and guys, I don't know if you're familiar with it. Racing Reference is kind of like the equivalent of, I'm trying to think of the encyclopedia type for the other sports.
Wiki.
No. It's football. I think it's called Football Reference or Baseball Reference.
ProFootballReference.com, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Racing Reference is kind of the equivalent of that for NASCAR and other types of motorsports. Well, they really, really talked a lot this past week about Truex's performance at this Coke 600. First of all, they took a look at what they consider to be the 10 most dominant races in NASCAR history. and they rated Martin Truex's as number one. This automatically went to the top of the list. This went this exceeded performances like I'm trying to think who they mentioned here. Who did they mention here?
Probably Jeff Burton at Martinsville once. He led like 390 some laps of 400.
They're citing in this particular piece, they're citing the 1965 Southern 500, the 2009 Brickyard 400. Who led that? Juan Pablo. Juan Pablo led that one. You know, on and on and on. 1985 Winston 500, Bill Elliott. So they're citing all these different races, and they automatically put Truex's up to number one. So they're saying this was, without a doubt, the most dominant NASCAR performance. But then they go on, and there are others. I've read this from other sources as well. They go on in another piece, and they talked about it again. I got to quote this. In Truex's run might better be compared to the greatest and most dominant performances across the history of sports. All right? Here are some of the other accomplishments across the sports realm that Truex's performance may be best compared to. Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points in an NBA game in 1962. Babe Ruth overcoming every MLB team during out-homering every MLB team during one season. The 1972 Miami Dolphins going undefeated. Tiger Woods winning the 1997 Masters by 12 strokes. Los Angeles Lakers winning 33 consecutive games in 1971-72. Guys, seriously, I wouldn't put his performance against any of those. Are you kidding me? I mean, is anybody taking any of this seriously?
Some of them. I would say some of them, and I'll tell you why.
Because
not only did he dominate the whole NASCAR race, he dominated the only 600-mile NASCAR race. And we've seen over the years how somebody can do really well for the first 500 miles of it. But being able to do it for the entire 600 miles, that is pretty impressive. And I will say this, just from the simple fact that the only time he was passed on the racetrack was during, you know, green flag pit stops and one restart. Somebody passed him for half a lap. That's pretty freaking dominant. I can't think of any other. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe, you know, the 100-point thing, you know, that was probably Wilt Chamberlain beating the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, playing, you know, all 5'10" guys against Wilt Chamberlain. That was probably, you know, that one I definitely would probably stack it against. Maybe not the, you know, the perfect season of the Dolphins or I don't know about the 33-game streak, maybe that one, not that one. But I'll tell you what, for a single, any of the one-offs, you know, Tiger Woods winning by 12, back then nobody could hang with him. You know, he was clearly cheating better than the rest of them, as we've learned to see.
Oh,
so,
boy.
You know, well, there's plenty of talk of Tiger and performance-enhancing drugs now that he can't manage to make a cut anymore.
Mm.
But my point being, on the single event performances, yeah, you could stack them up. I don't necessarily agree with, you know, the whole season or, you know, Babe Ruth out-homering all the baseball teams for one season. No, you can't do that because that was done over an entire season, not just
Bingo.
One single
Bingo.
Game, you know. But the single game ones, yeah, I'd put it up against them. And a lot of them I'd probably put it above because I didn't see the 100-point game. But I guarantee you the level of competition, Wilt Chamberlain – put 100 points up against was probably nothing like, you know, today's.
Well,
you know,
like today. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, comparison of today's. So it's like, it was probably, you know, almost stupid. Like, the announcers were probably calling for a mercy rule during the game. You know what I'm saying? Where
yep.
this, you had everybody, you know, you had 40 other NASCAR teams and you had nobody missing, you know, he had every, you know, legitimate contender out there trying to beat him, and Jimmy Johnson was the only one who could pass him for half a lap, essentially. So, you know, that's pretty dominant. So there's my rant.
No,
I
got you, and basically you're coming down about where I would. You know, I would say, okay, I'll accept the comparison to Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points in one game. But I cannot accept the 1972 Miami Dolphins going undefeated.
No. That's
for exactly the same reason that you just did. And that is that what the Dolphins did. Exactly. What the Dolphins did, they did over the course of, what was it then, 12 weeks? And then the postseason?
And then the postseason. Yeah, it was 17-0 was their number.
Okay, and then the postseason, 14. Okay. So you can't compare it because what Truex did, he did within the course of 3.5 hours, 4 hours, not the course of as we just said, 14 weeks plus the postseason.
Right.
So I can't even go there. I'm not even sure I would go to Tiger Woods winning the 97 Masters. I know you just threw it in there.
Yeah.
But I don't
know what?
That's 4 days. That's 4 days, though.
It's still one event.
I got you. Any thoughts?
I'll put it on par with any other single one event. I'm not going to put it on par against the season. Because then you're just, no, you're just not talking logic at that point.
I agree with you. Any quick thoughts, Psychic?
Yeah, I'm not buying into all that stuff.
You got to give credit. It was a truly impressive.
Did you hear that? I heard it. Did you hear it between the – I heard it creeping in there. There was that ornery, hey, it's a Toyota thing. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of sports. You know, did you hear it? I heard it right there. I heard it again.
But you got to give him credit. It's something you're not going to see very often if, you know,
no,
I don't
not,
know that you'll
not,
ever
and
see
not,
another.
Not on a the Coca-Cola 600.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Any other race.
Dominating as he did, because as we talked about last week with the 600, you get over 500 and then the cars start breaking.
Right.
Yep.
Typically, you know what I mean? You start seeing, the car failures. So,
what was really interesting.
I still don't know if I'm putting his performance up against Wilt Chamberlain or something. I don't know.
Well, look at how many times
You talk about Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points. That's, I mean, how many times has anyone ever even gotten close to that?
Yeah, but I think Brandon's right. You got to look at the era that it was done in. Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, sure, and that's probably why nobody's ever touched it since.
Literally,
you know,
literally and figuratively, Wilt Chamberlain was bigger than life at that point.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here, let me just put this in perspective to a normal NASCAR race. If you got somebody who is dominant, you'll always see where they'll come into the pits and they'll change the car a little bit, and they'll always have this one point where, oh, wow, that change wasn't good. We need to go back because now we're not up front. They never missed a beat that entire race. I mean, there is never a point in time where they said, oh, so-and-so is faster on the track than the leader, because there was never a point in time. In 600 miles, nobody was ever faster than him, except for on a restart for half a lap.
Right.
I mean, come on now.
Well,
ever see that in any race.
Well, wasn't there a race last year that Kevin Harvick did?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a 600. But wasn't there he led basically the race?
Yeah, Phoenix.
And nobody ever touched
him. He's been doing that at Phoenix for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years now. But there's points in time in the race where other cars are competitive with him, at least. There was nobody ever competitive with Truex in this race. Not even the other Gibbs cars.
No, and you kept thinking, too, that somebody was going to sneak one in there on him on a restart. And it never happened. It never happened.
Either that or there's a fine on the post-race inspection.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what you're always waiting for Tuesday. Yeah,
exactly.
Another Gibbs car come in there and, you know, give him a run once in a while, but not even Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch was out to lunch. He had problems with that car all day long.
Yep.
Carl was running sort of up front. Kenseth was sort of up there. But nobody really could, go up and say, hey, I'm here. He's just like, see ya. It's like Sidekick on a highway. See ya.
Yeah, bye-bye. Gone.
Yeah, really. Really. Really.
I'm that notorious.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, we'll get away from Truex and the Coke 600 at this point.
Well, Liz put in the chat room that Dolphins will always be number one in her book. So that'll
I know that probably just made your day, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to take away from their accomplishment. That what they did was impressive. I'm not going to trash what they did. They're division rival to my team, but I'm never going to trash their accomplishment. Nobody's ever done it.
Pop the champagne.
One game away. What's that?
Said he will pop the champagne.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was at the time that I was a big, big Dolphins fan. I was a big Dolphins AFC Dolphins fan.
Well, it was a solid team though. They had a Hall of Fame head coach. They had great players on both sides of the ball. What do you expect?
Yep.
I mean, that's good. I mean, like I said, my team was one game away from doing it, and they couldn't get it done. So, you know, still hasn't been replicated. And yes, it takes more games to do it now, but you still, to me, it's not replicated till you do all the regular season and all the postseason, because it's not the Dolphins' fault that the NFL changed the number of games in the season. They did what they had. They can't control that. So
yeah, to your point, I think that's it. I mean, if you can't go through the whole season and take home the championship,
right?
Then it doesn't kind of, you know, yeah, you may have gone more games.
Yeah, because the Patriots did go more game than them, but that didn't matter. They needed to go two more games for it to really count.
Yeah, you know, yeah, for it to really have that, you know, that stamp, you need that championship. Not that they don't have their share of rings. Don't get me wrong.
No. I'm not.
I was
going to
say this.
I'm just saying.
This is coming from you.
But you know, but I think, you know, that really is what cements that. You know, like we saw, you know, the Golden State Warriors with how dominant, you know, we talked about on the other sports show, and not to, here we go off the rails again. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, we've talked about Golden State saying, well, if they don't take the championship home, then the regular season record doesn't really mean much.
But it'll still always get cited.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It'll always have that little asterisk, regular season.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. It won't have quite the luster.
The punch.
Yeah, it wouldn't have the luster that it would if in fact they actually win the whole darn thing. But it'll still, that 73 will still get cited. Just like you saw here, what did I just cite? The Los Angeles Lakers winning 33 consecutive. That still gets cited to this day. So, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that one of the records this Golden State team was actually looking to break this year, I think, was that record. They were looking to break that one this year. But anyhow, wanted to touch on this one real quick, guys, because we've talked about sponsorship and motorsports and that sort of thing before, and the problems that one has with getting sponsorship. I mean, it's got to be a horrible job, an absolutely horrible job, to try to go get sponsors. I'm pretty good at marketing. I have been in my lifetime. I've done a lot of things in marketing. I got to tell you right now, that is one job there is no way in hell I would ever want, would be to try to get sponsorship for any kind of motorsports. And we've seen it really, really suffer in NHRA. Interesting where it kind of reaches down. And I guess what kind of took me back a little bit was that we were talking about Richard Petty Motors. I mean, here's Richard Petty Motors, you know, the king, goes and suspends the number 43 out of the Xfinity series. Now, I haven't gotten the details on it. I've actually tried to locate the details on all of this. But, you know, evidently, I mean, obviously, it's all sponsor driven.
to drop that car out of Xfinity. Any thoughts on it, guys?
Well, they did say during the Sprint Cup pole qualifying, a sponsor has not come through on a promise to the team. So you hit the nail on the head. It's all sponsor driven. They had a deal with a sponsor, and I guess they're just not paying it. And Richard Petty Motorsports is saying, hey, if we don't see this money, we can't keep this going. So they're probably doing the smart thing and, you know, stopping it now before it becomes an issue. You know, maybe they can salvage some of it. I don't know. But yeah, that's the long and short of it. It's a tough sell. As you said, you wouldn't want that job. It's a tough sell right now, because if you look at NASCAR, TV ratings are still declining. We look at the live audience, and we see empty grandstands every race.
Yep.
You know, at least, you know, that was always the argument with motorsports over, you know, some of the other sports for sponsoring, you know, because you have the TV, but you also have, you know, 100-some thousand people there at the event that you're getting, you know, and then they're buying T-shirts with the logos on them and all that. But you're, you know, you're really not getting 100,000-some people now. You're not even getting 50, it looks like, at some of these races.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a tough sell.
The on-site attendance, you and I have taken note of it, in particular, Brandon, in the past couple of races, has been really, really poor. And poor to the extent that it is, I mean, evidently noticeable. I mean, it's one thing if you kind of pack everybody into a particular area and then, you know, maybe the camera doesn't necessarily spend a lot of time in a particular region where you've got a big dead area of open space. It's almost as if we're not even doing a good job of that at this point. I'm going to be curious to see. Well, boy, oh boy, the weather being as bad as it's looking for Pocono today, I can't imagine today is going to be much better, honestly. It's a tough one. I guess the thing that's really jumped out at me, you know, you're talking about Richard Petty Motors, too. You know, you would think there's got to be some prestige that goes with that. You know, we're not talking about, as we've talked about many times before, we're not talking about a backmarker team, you know, a no-name team who really doesn't get all that much of a, you know, notoriety. They don't really maybe even get mentioned on a national broadcast at all. We're talking about Richard Petty Motors. Wow. That really then starts to, you know, that strikes home now when you start talking about a big name like that one, not getting the kind of, although, you know, if what you're saying, Brandon, it kind of sounds like it's a situation where might have been a renege, huh?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think maybe a company thought they maybe bit off more than they can chew. They thought they were going to be able to do it, and then maybe their business just wasn't running as good. I don't know the details. Like you said, I hadn't seen it either. But they just made comment during the Sprint Cup qualifying that it was suspended and it was due to sponsor, you know, not coming through on promises. So
yeah. Yep.
They didn't say which
one. You know, a renege would be very, very difficult to kind of rebound from, because if you're anticipating it, right, and maybe you're being strung along, oh, we're going to be good, we're going to be good, we're going to be good, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's you know. Mm.
We've actually in NASCAR seen these cases end up in court, and teams have won because they have contracts. So.
You got a contract, yeah. Oof. All right. Well, anyhow, well, I guess we'll continue to follow that. All right, real quick, let's get over to take a look real quick before we get we got a little NHRA update I want to take a look at as well. NHRA is going to be is flying this week up in New Hampshire. Of course, that there's some concern that might not happen today, just like Pocono may not happen. Psychic, you just said you've got the weather forecast open. Everything right now with regard to Pocono, everything is riding on the weather. And the weather forecast is not good. Now, right here in our area at this time, we're clear. Not clear. It's cloudy, but not raining. There hasn't really been much rain so far this morning. What's the weather forecast looking like since you indicated you've got it open there?
Well, according to AccuWeather, there is rain due at basically the 1 o'clock hour. And then it's going to be cloudy until 6 p.m. when the thunderstorms roll in.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like it's kind of going to be like...
We're going to get a break.
Like the trip that you and I took up to Pocono where we got the race in and it's soon, no more and the race ends and we're out swimming in the field.
Oh, man. That was brutal.
We're
that
worrying was... about, you know, were we going to get out of there or not?
Yeah,
out of that
where we
mud field.
Get out of there. Oh, my God. I thought we were going to die that night. The lightning strikes around us were just monstrous and ridiculous.
Well, didn't somebody die?
Two people got struck by lightning that very evening. In fact, we saw the lightning bolt that came down. If you recall, it was right straight in front of us. We were trying to get out of the field. And, of course, the field had turned into marshland at that point. We were trying to get out of the field, and, of course, there was traffic everywhere, and everything was moving very slowly because the monsoon rain was just incredible. And if you remember, Psychic, we're looking straight ahead, and the flash was so brilliant, right directly smack in front of us, because we were looking at the back of the grandstand, and that bolt came straight down, and that was one of the ones that hit somebody who was exiting the grandstand.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, after that lightning bolt, we both had to check our pants.
Yeah, I think I did. Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Because we were like,
holy, yeah. Yep.
Woo. Check the pants.
But,
we're good.
I saw the same report. We might get a window, it would seem, potentially. You might get a window between like about, it looked like, and they were showing this even last night, and it looks like it's staying pretty consistent. From about 2 o'clock to, as you say, about 6 or thereabouts, where it's going to be cloudy, it's going to be nasty, it's going to be humid, it's going to be miserable, but at least it should be rain-free. We might be able to get a portion of this race in. As I pointed out, Pesky's, we got the Pesky boys on the pole. One and two. Kozlowski's got number one. Joey Logano's got number two in the qualifying order. Do I have the rest of it? Yeah, I have the rest of it here. We got Kenseth at 3. We got Carl Edwards at 5. Kevin Harvick's at 4. Tony Stewart coming in there at number 6. We talked about Stewart a little bit. I'm going to talk about Stewart here a lot. Well, not a lot, but I'm kind of giving away my pick. Jimmy Johnson coming in at 7. Junior coming in at 8. Kurt Busch, 9. Denny Hamlin coming in at 10. We've already pointed out Denny Hamlin's a 4-time winner. Jimmy Johnson, 3 times. Both Junior, Junior is a 2-time winner. He swept this in 2 years ago in 2014. Kurt Busch and Casey Kane have also as well. Any quick thoughts, guys, on Pocono before we jump over to NHRA, and then we'll get into our fantasy and our picks for the week. Any
just
thoughts on Pocono?
Just looking at pre-race, it looks a little damp.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
So we might
doesn't
be
look
delayed.
Like a total downpour, but it looks kind of wet. So,
and it being, God almighty, it's an enormous track. So
it's not an easy, and it's very flat. That makes it take longer to dry.
Yep.
When they're heavy banked, at least the water all runs down. So it's just a matter of, and the way the, you know, between the jet dryers blowing it and the Titans blowing it down, it blows it down the hill even more. You know, it dries a lot faster. These flat track, it's a little tough.
Yeah. So the delay on the front end could be lengthy. We could have a lengthy delay on the front end.
It does not look like if they're anywhere near starting a NASCAR race. Let's put it that way. And green flag's supposed to drop, what, 12:45, I think I saw?
Did they move it up even more?
12:56.
Oh, they moved it up even more.
Yeah, they moved. Oh, yeah, they moved it up.
Is what the fantasy website's saying right now.
Yeah, there was an earlier announcement which came via Twitter from Pocono. Now, mind you, this was earlier this morning. Pace car rides had been canceled. Driver intros were accelerated up to 12:13 p.m. And green flag was accelerated up to 101. But it sounds like they've moved it up even more. So, all right. All right, so they're going to try to get it in. Otherwise, they're looking at a race tomorrow. All right.
We better get moving here. We're against the clock here if we're going to get everything in.
No, I gave us a little extra time because I had a funny feeling we might go a little bit over. So I was just about to say to everybody, I know we're probably going to go a couple of minutes over. We're not going to go too far over. We're not going to go all the way to 1 o'clock. That I know. We'll just probably go a couple of minutes over.
All right, so real quick, 3 minutes ago, NASCAR on Fox. NASCAR continues to battle rain at Pocono. Stay tuned to FS1 for updates.
So does that mean it's raining there right now? I mean, I know.
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
All right.
That's the way I read it. And there's Kurt Busch in the Hollywood Hotel during the rain delay. So, yeah, looks like we're not getting it started on time.
Okay. Well, and like I said, that's a big, big track. So depending on the length of time that we get to get it dried up, shoo, boy, oh, boy, we may not get this one in. Anyhow, I'll tell you what, we haven't done one of these in a while. In fact, there was one week where I was supposed to do one, and we just kind of ran out of time. But I say we go take a look at what's happening in Maybe we'll get a little NHRA in today, which would be nice, particularly if we don't get a NASCAR race in. But we haven't looked at NHRA recently. We're heading to we've got our ninth event of 18 for this season. So following today, we are exactly at the midpoint now for NHRA. And as I pointed out, we're up in Epping, New Hampshire. So we are at the New England Nationals this week. Next week, and interestingly, too, we're at that point in the schedule right now in NHRA where we're actually going to go 4 weeks in a row. It's the only time during the season where we're actually going to have NHRA activity 4 straight weeks in a row. Bam, 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 4 weeks. Next week, we're going to be in New Jersey. I believe next week's New Jersey. Yes, it is. Yep. Englishtown. We will be at Englishtown next week. So, but anyhow, what are the standings looking like right now? Well, let's start with Pro Stock real quick. We've talked all season long. This has been the Jason Lyne and Greg Anderson year. That's what it's been this year, as everybody else seems to be trying to figure out what to do with the new EFI that they have introduced, the electronic fuel injection system introduced into Pro Stock this year. That team, they've got it going on. They're obviously not letting anybody else know exactly what the secret is. So everybody else is kind of falling in behind. Jason Lyne right now is 126 points ahead of his teammate Greg Anderson. So number one and number two, Bo Butner coming in there at number three. Nice job from Drew Skillman, tied for number four right now, Chris McGahey at number six. Erica Enders coming in at number eight. Jake Coughlin, nice. Up in number nine. Number 10 is our cutoff line for the countdown, which will be jumping in here in mid-September. That's when the actual kind of playoffs for NHRA, the countdown start, will be mid-September. In Funny Car, who's leading it all? Hey, how about Courtney Force? Fast Jack Beckman, only 12 points, though, ahead of Fast Jack. But Courtney Force right now going into today's heats at in New Hampshire, 12 points ahead of Fast Jack. Brandon, did you happen to see Fast Jack's car yesterday?
No, not yet. It's still on the DVR, and I was half thinking about maybe watching some of the NHRA qualifying during the rain delays.
Well, I got to tell you, in one of the qualifyings that went down there, we've seen this happen to Fast Jack before. He blew the body off like I've not seen before.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible. You know, it always amazes me when they can get out of those unscathed. That body, when I say it ruptured, a lot of times when you see them blow off the body like that, they come off sometimes almost in one full piece. Brandon, it didn't look like there was anything coming off of this car. It almost exploded. It almost exploded outright, you know, like all over the place. I mean, it was incredible. I've got the video up on our Frat House Sports Facebook page, folks, if you want to see it. It's been up there since last night. Get over to Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like. You'll see the Fast Jack qualifying run yesterday where he blew the body right off the car. But Courtney Force right now, leaderboard, leading it. 12 points, as I pointed out, over Fast Jack. Tim Wilkerson coming in third. Matt Hagen, fourth. Robert Height coming in at fifth. John Force right now at number nine. Tommy Johnson at number 10. There's our cutoff. Chad Head below the line at number 11. Over in Top Fuel, Doug Coletta is leading all, 95 points ahead of Antron Brown. Brittany Force in there at number 3, 130 points behind the leader. Who else we got in there? Tony Schumacher, not having a great season. 307 points out of first place, but above the cut line. He's at the 8th spot. Cut line right now, Terry McMillan is at number 10, Leah Pritchett at number 11. All right, so that's where we stand, and how are things looking for today's run? Number one qualifier in Pro Stock. Any surprise here, folks? Jason Lyne. Jason Lyne, number 2, Bo Buckner. Number 3, Vincent Nobile. Number 4, Greg Anderson. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Number 5, Alex Laughlin. And let's see, who else? Chris Begay coming in at number 9. Drew Skillman coming in at 12. Erica Enders coming in at 10. We are, again, only fielding 14 cars today in Pro Stock. So there is no 15 and 16 car. Only 14 cars today up in New Hampshire in Pro Stock. Over at Funny Car, number one qualifier, Ron Capps. Matt Hagen, number 2. Tommy Johnson Jr., number 3. Oh, God. DSR is dominating. John Forrest coming in at number 4. That's good to see for John. John's having a tough season himself. Number 5, Tim Wilkerson. Number 6, Fast Jack. Beckman, number 7, Del Worsham. The Cruiser coming in at 11. Alexis DeJuria coming in at 10. And let's see. All right. And then finally, where are we in Top Fuel? Top Fuel, number 1 is Antron Brown. Number... Oh, boy, this field is even worse. How about a field of 13 for Top Fuel? Holy smokes. Well, we were talking about sponsorship. I don't think I've ever seen a field of 13, Brandon. Field of 13 for Top Fuel today. Antron Brown will be running against no one. So he's going to get a pass on the first round. Antron Brown is the number 1 qualifier. Number 2, Steve Torrence. Number 3 is Brittany Force. Tony Schumacher coming in at number 5. Good for 4. Rather good for him. Clay Milliken, number 5. Coletta coming in at 6, Sean Langdon at 7. All right, so there's what things are looking like for today's runs.
I think what you're seeing here is,
go ahead.
Yeah, is New England. No, they don't go to many races that far up, and it's pretty far haul for most of the teams. Most of NHRA is, you know, kind of centered around Indianapolis. Most of the big teams are anyway. So
right.
I think what you're seeing here is a little you know, geography challenge, where like even the West Coast swing is not as big of a deal for them as this, because that's more than one race. This is one off race in the upper, you know, Northeast. So that's probably why you see such, you know, few fields, I think.
You know, though, Brandon, we're going to be on the East Coast here for a couple of weeks in a row, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it's
this
still
is
not New England's.
You know, you got New Jersey next week. You got Tennessee the week after. You got the Thunder Valley ones in Bristol. And then we're going to be in Ohio for the Summit Racing. So,
some teams can't just go out and stay out on the road, though. They'd have to come back. So this is the furthest one, so.
Gotcha.
That's why I'm the way it is.
I'm going to tell you, though, I hear what you're saying and I understand what you're saying, but I still nonetheless don't think I've ever remember even a race up in New England where you had, for top fuel, a field of 13. But, all right. All righty, well, let's do this one. We'll switch it around. We did kind of touch on, at least we got into a little bit of conversation about fantasy and what happened. That sound means we need to get into a little bit of fantasy chat with Sidekick. I think Greg got his first win last week, I believe. Yes, he did. Greg, who we had on earlier in the program, got his first win of the season last week at Charlotte. So that helped him out tremendously. That jumped him all the way up to number three in our fantasy league. And good for him, too, because he had been the points leader. Greg has been the points leader in our league almost from the very first week. So getting that win was a big one for Greg, because that probably guaranteed him into the chase. So anyhow, but Daytona Cementheads still leading up at in our fantasy league with three wins. Brandon, you're still sitting there at number two with two wins, and then Greg comes in at number three now with his first win of the season. The fantasy race team is sitting at number five. I'm at number six. And then Sidekick, your second team, sits at number eight. So what do you got for us for today? I can tell you, I'll say this much. I won't get into the whole team. I don't have it up in front of me anyhow. I got one of the most eclectic teams I think I've ever assembled. What do you got for us today?
Oh, what do I got? All Toyotas now. That'll
never
happen.
Wouldn't that be a delight?
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
I would have to absolutely. Yeah, we're dun 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 dun. That's the sound effect I need.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Dale Jr., Matt DiBenedetto, and Regan Smith.
Okay. Sounds like a good team to me.
So, and for Eat My Dust, I'm sorry, Brandon, I'm going with you. I don't, like we alluded to earlier, as much as I'd love to see a Penske winner, I don't have the best feeling on it. And I, you know, there's just something that, you know, like Greg alluded to, there's just something that's saying Dale.
Wow. All right, so you're going with Junior for your pick for the day. Very, very interesting. Loyal listener Liz is going with Kevin Harvick for today. NASCAR John is going with Junior. And Brandon, I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, right?
Yep, I'm going with Junior.
Brandon's going with Junior.
That team's kind of been on a uptick this week, so.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, I alluded to it earlier. I couldn't believe it when Greg brought it up and he asked about Tony Stewart. I'm going out on a limb today. I'm going with Tony Stewart to win. And you want to talk about an eclectic fantasy team? I could be putting myself in some serious, serious jeopardy. Here with this fantasy team. Kyle Busch, Tony Stewart, Matt Kenseth, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Greg Biffle. I don't think I've ever assembled a team like that one. That's just a...
You never put Biffle on your team, Mike.
I know I don't. You're right, I don't.
One of these days, I'm going to shock everybody and put a pesky. I'll put a pesky on my team.
Yeah, but we've talked on length about how we all pretty much don't put Biffle.
I know. I know. I kind of like his qualifying spot, and the money worked. What can I tell you? The money worked.
It's funny though because I toyed with the idea when looking at the fantasy stats and who's run. I looked at it and I'm like, Biffle. I haven't run Biffle. If I run Biffle 1 week, is it gonna really?
I know.
Kill me.
I know.
Because I'll probably never run him again.
If
Biffle.
I know. I hear you, man. This is why I'm putting the team together last night. I'm going, you know, Mike, you're not in bad shape. You're up.
Well, you know what you're doing.
In sixth place.
You're pulling a Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus.
Yes.
You're probably locked into the chase, so you're going to tinker.
I'm tinkering.
And that's what you're, you know, what happens if I do this? I got to win. Chances are I probably will make it to the chase. So why don't I try and just, we'll put Biffle on this week.
Biffle. I got Biffle, Stenhouse, and Tony Stewart. I mean, come on, man. You want to talk about tinkering?
Cantankerous.
Oh, man alive. Real quick, I will mention, let's see. Loyal listener Liz has got Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Jimmy Johnson, and, of course, Singer. Matt Kenseth. She's got Matt Kenseth to win. Although she picked Harvick in her Eat My Dust. But, all right, there you go. There's our picks for this week and our fantasy selections. Now, hopefully, everybody that's listening, hopefully we will get a race in. That's what we are kind of hoping.
I'm scouring Twitter right now.
I wouldn't hold my breath. It does not look good.
There's been no update from Pocono. In the last 45 minutes, the radar looks clear right now, but there is a pocket coming in the general direction. I don't know if it's going to miss Pocono or not. It's looking probably 45 minutes. I would guess it'll be in the area. So we'll see.
Yeah, the timing on that doesn't sound good because, look, let's just say for a moment they had all the jet dryers out there right now. That track's going to take an hour, if not more, to dry, considering this. And the level of humidity right now, it's going to take forever. Come on. It's so humid out. Oh, anyhow. All right. Well, there you go. Well, you know, hey, if we don't get a race in today, I guess, you know, it'll be tomorrow at some point. So, and tomorrow's forecast does look quite nice. All right, there you go. We did go a couple minutes over time. I want to thank everybody that's been listening in today. Many thanks to, as always, loyal listener Liz. NASCAR John said he had sent me a note over, said he was listening in while he was doing a little weeding in his garden. So I appreciate that. Many thanks to Greg as well from down there in San Antonio for calling in. Many thanks to all of you that have, as I pointed out, have listened in here this morning. It's always a lot of fun. We enjoy doing this particular program on Sunday morning as we just don't follow an outline and we constantly get off the rails. So we enjoy doing this one. Make sure, please, that you are here with us on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. We'll be coming to you here with number 248. Coming to you on Thursday night. Make sure as well, please, that you get over to our Frat House Sports Facebook page. Frat House Sports leaves spaces in between, as I've pointed out many times before. Leave spaces in between that. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like. Why do you do that? Simply because that way then you are up to date with our programming here on the network. And I say that to you now because it's very possible we might actually throw a Major League Baseball cleanup hitters program in the mix this week. I'm working on that one, and we might actually be able to get a all Major League Baseball program in the mix this week. But in order to get that information, you're going to want to be making sure that you like our Facebook page, because that way you'll be notified if, in fact, we have that program airing this week. So we know for a fact Thursday night we'll be back here at 7 p.m. Eastern time, so be here for that one. But there's a possibility, as I just pointed out, we might have a baseball show as well. Next Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m., I'll be back here with you for another relaxed Frat House Saturday program, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So you want to be here for that one as well. In the meantime, a lot of sports on today. I know that. You got Major League Baseball going. We got the second game of the NBA Finals this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time on ABC, game number 2 coming up on that one, so you got that. And as I pointed out, hopefully we get some racing in here shortly. In the meantime, hey, get out there and enjoy all your sports and enjoy your racing.